I'm going to be focusing on Philip Morris's corporate responsibility efforts, and specifically a concept they came up with that they termed societal alignment in its responsibility initiatives. Here are our disclosures, as we have revealed earlier. So what is societal alignment? The company has defined it as strategies and programs to ensure that our operations and activities respond to societal expectations of a responsible company. And within this definition, there are two points worth mentioning. One is the drive here to be seen as a responsible company. And the second is that the particular approach that they would take is to identify and to meet societal expectations of what a responsible company is. So why did Philip Morris feel that it needed to become societally aligned? In a speech given by Senior Vice President for Corporate Affairs, Steve Parrish, in 1999, he spoke of societal alignment and the need to be seen as a responsible and reasonable corporation as a business imperative for the companies. So when we take a look about how the company went about achieving societal alignment, we see three things. The first is that they wanted to systematically identify social expectations. And they did this by conducting focus groups and public opinion surveys about the tobacco industry and responsibility. Second, we see that it wanted to align its practices and programs with society's reasonable expectations. And as we saw from Patricia's presentation earlier, that this notion of being reasonable was a condition upon which they would view these expectations and about whether or not they would decide to align with them. And third, and probably most interestingly, is that alignment was working to shape society's expectations of Philip Morris. So what we see is not simply Philip Morris aligning to what they found as society's expectations, but they also wanted to shape society's expectations to those that they considered reasonable. So here we see just a few of the areas of alignment that Philip Morris identified. Certainly youth smoking, communicating the health effects of tobacco products, support of reasonable regulation, responsible marketing, and complying with regulatory requirements. And if we take a look at Philip Morris's response to each of these areas, with respect to youth smoking, they would continue to promote their youth smoking prevention program, which has been shown to be ineffective. In the area of health effects of tobacco products, they changed the language on their website with respect to the health effects of tobacco products, and we'll go into a little more detail in a moment. With respect to support of reasonable regulation, we know that they are in support of the current FDA legislation under consideration by Congress. And with respect to responsible marketing and complying with regulatory requirements, Philip Morris put out a media campaign to discuss their compliance with the Master Settlement Agreement. And so they didn't go above and beyond anything that was legally required of them, instead demonstrating to the public that they were merely aligning themselves with what was required of them as a company. If we take a closer look at the health effects of tobacco products and the specific way that Philip Morris decided to align, we see that in 1998, Philip Morris conducted the Responsible Manufacturer Focus Groups. And one of the expectations of a responsible tobacco manufacturer that became apparent from the focus groups was that a responsible tobacco company must acknowledge both the health effects and the addictiveness of their products. The consultant in this report put in quotes, acknowledge and the health effects and the addictiveness, to imply that these were fluid ideas that could be changed and perhaps negotiated with society's expectations. So on the issue of coming clean, how did they come clean and how did they align? In October 2000, Philip Morris changed the language on its website to agree with the overwhelming medical and scientific consensus that cigarette smoking is addictive and causes serious disease. PM USA CEO Mike Szymanczyk wrote that we should pay close attention to the concerns and criticisms of public health authorities, that the public expects that from us. But even though they changed the language on their website, there is a different truth behind that change. As Patricia has shown, that PM has not admitted deception in previous statements on the health effects of smoking, And as Lissy has addressed and has written about earlier, PM has not changed its legal position on the health effects of smoking. So what we see from a more refined analysis is that agreeing is not accepting liability on the part of the tobacco company. We see that societal alignment was not simply a domestic effort done in the U.S., but was international as well. And they conducted studies in Central America, South America, Asia, and I would like to focus on the Central Europe, Middle East, and Africa market region, which they termed SEMA, in a project that was called SEMA 2000. Now, SEMA 2000 consisted of two parts. The first was a qualitative component that included country briefings that described the social and political environment of a country, as well as the key tobacco control policies in that country. And they also conducted focus groups in each of the countries to identify the social acceptability of smoking and other expectations of what was considered a responsible tobacco manufacturer. The second component was a quantitative component that consisted of opinion surveys that was done in each country, and the topics were similar to those that were covered in the focus groups. If we take a look at some select results from the SEMA 2000 project, we see that in the Czech Republic and Hungary and Switzerland that there was varying degrees of concern about youth smoking, but that in each of the countries that over 50% of the population was concerned about the level of youth smoking. There was less support in each of the three countries for a restaurant smoking ban. But what we see is that in the last three items is that there was over two-thirds popular support of government reduction of tar and nicotine, support for larger health warnings, and support to increase tax to pay for health care costs related to smoking-related diseases. But the consultant for Philip Morris's had a very limited set of recommendations about what it should do to become societally aligned. The consultant suggested promoting a youth smoking prevention program, sponsoring cultural and social events and programs, stressing the economic benefit of tobacco manufacturing, and in Hungary and Switzerland, promoting an accommodation and ventilation strategy as opposed to smoking bans in indoor areas. And what's important to note about each of these four areas is that these have all been done in the U.S. And so what we see really is a repackaging of strategies done in the U.S. to countries overseas. So if we revisit some of the select results that we saw earlier, they certainly address the concern about youth smoking, but we know that their program has been shown to be ineffective. In response to the popular support for restaurant smoking bans, there was no action on the part of Philip Morris. There was also no response on the company for vast support for government reduction of tar and nicotine, also for the support for larger health warnings. And though no company will do anything to increase taxes, it certainly didn't address the healthcare issues related to tobacco-related diseases. So the question is, was Philip Morris able to shape societal expectations? Well, we see from Philip Morris public opinion data from the U.S. in 2004 is that really the company has not been able to shape those expectations. We see that over two-thirds of people in the U.S. wish there was some way to eliminate cigarettes altogether. 62% wanted all cigarette advertising to be banned. And interestingly, over 50% thought that the right and responsible thing to do was for tobacco companies to go out of business altogether. So not only has Philip Morris been unable to shape societal expectations, we see clearly that PM is not aligning to society's expectations of it as a responsible tobacco manufacturer. So we see societal alignment for all that it was intended to do, at least on paper, that it was a global business strategy and not done out of ethical considerations. We also see, especially internationally, that societal alignment was merely a selective repackaging of previous positions and programs to be seen as aligning and to be seen as reasonable and responsible. And that societal alignment was as much aligning society to Philip Morris and its view of itself as a reasonable company as it was Philip Morris aligning itself to society's expectations. And certainly we see society's expectations only those that it considered reasonable. Thank you.